Book 11, Canto 1, Section 6. But Savitri answered to the radiant God, "In vain thou temptest with solitary bliss two spirits saved out of a suffering world, my soul and his, indissolubly linked in the one task for which our lives were born. To raise the world to God in deathless light, to bring God down to the world on earth we came, to change the earthly life to life divine. I keep my will to save the world and man. Even the charm of thy alluring voice, O blissful Godhead, cannot seize and snare. I sacrifice not earth to happier worlds, because there dwelt the Eternal's vast idea and his dynamic will in men and things, so only could the enormous scene begin. Whence came this profitless wilderness of stars, this mighty barren wheeling of the suns? Who made the soul of futile life in time, planted a purpose and a hope in the heart, set nature to a huge and meaningless task, or planned her million-eoned efforts waste? What force, condemned to birth and death and tears, these conscious creatures crawling on the globe? If earth can look up to the light of heaven and hear an answer to her lonely cry, not vain their meeting, nor heaven's touch a snare. If thou and I are true, the world is true. Although thou hide thyself behind thy works, to be is not a senseless paradox. Since God has made earth, earth must make in her God. What hides within her breast, she must reveal. I claim thee for the world that thou hast made. If man lives bound by his humanity, if he is tied forever to his pain, let a greater being then arise from man, the superhuman with the eternal mate, and the immortal shine through earthly forms. Else were creation vain, and this great world are nothing that in time's moments seems to be. But I have seen through the insentient mask. I have felt a secret spirit stir in things, carrying the body of the growing god. It looks through wailing forms at veilless truth. It pushes back the curtain of the gods. It climbs towards its own eternity. But the god answered to the woman's heart. O living power of the incarnate word, all that the spirit has dreamed, thou canst create. Thou art the force by which I made the worlds. Thou art my vision and my will and voice. But knowledge too is thine. The world plan thou knowest, and the tardy process of the pace of time. In the impetuous drive of thy heart of flame, in thy passion to deliver man and earth, indignant at the impediments of time and the slow evolution's sluggard steps, lead not the spirit in an ignorant world to dare too soon the adventure of the light, pushing the bound and slumbering god in man, awakened mid the ineffable silences, into endless vistas of the unknown and unseen, across the last confines of the limiting mind and the superconscious perilous borderline, into the danger of the infinite. But if thou wilt not wait for time and God, do then thy work and force thy will on fate. As I have taken from thee my load of night, and taken from thee my twilight's doubts and dreams, so now I take my light of utter day. These are my symbol kingdoms, but not here can the great choice be made that fixes fate, or uttered the sanction of the voice supreme. Arise upon a ladder of greater worlds, to the infinity where no world can be. But not in the wide air, where a greater life uplifts its mystery and its miracle, and not on the luminous peaks of summit mind, or in the hold where subtle matter's spirit hides in its light of shimmering secrecies, can there be heard the Eternal's firm command that joins the head of destiny to its base. These only are the mediating links. Not theirs is the originating site, nor the fulfilling act or last support that bears perpetually the cosmic pile. Two are the powers that hold the ends of time. Spirit foresees, matter unfolds its thought. The dumb executor of God's decrees, omitting no iota and no dot, agent unquestioning, inconscient, stark, evolving inevitably a charged content, intention of his force in time and space, in animate beings and inanimate things. Immutably, it fulfills its ordered task. It cancels not a tittle of things done. Unswerving from the oracular command, it alters not the steps of the unseen. If thou must indeed deliver man and earth on the spiritual heights, look down on life. Discover the truth of God and man and world. Then do thy task, knowing and seeing all. Ascend, O soul, into thy timeless self. Choose destiny's curve and stamp thy will on time. He ended, and upon the falling sound, a power went forth that shook the founded spheres and loosed the stakes that hold the tents of form. Absolved from vision's grip and the folds of thought, wrapped from her sense like disappearing scenes in the stupendous theatre of space, the heaven worlds vanished in spiritual light. A movement was abroad, a cry, a word, beginningless in its vast discovery, momentless in its unthinkable return. Quiet in calm seas, she heard the eternal thought, rhythming itself abroad unutterably in spaceless orbits and on timeless roads. In an ineffable world, she lived fulfilled. An energy of the triune infinite, in a measureless reality she dwelt, a rapture and a being and a force, a linked and myriad motion plenitude, a virgin unity, a luminous spouse, housing a multitudinous embrace to marry all in God's immense delight, bearing the eternity of every spirit, bearing the burden of universal love, a wonderful mother of unnumbered souls. All things she knew, all things imagined or willed. Her ear was opened to ideal sound. Shape the convention bound no more her sight. A thousand doors of oneness was her heart. A crypt and sanctuary of brooding light appeared, the last recess of things beyond. Then, in its rounds, the enormous fiat paused. Silence gave back to the unknowable all it had given. Still was her listening thought. The form of things had ceased within her soul. Invisible, that perfect Godhead now. Around her, some tremendous spirit lived, mysterious flame around a melting pearl. And in the phantom of abolished space, there was a voice unheard by ears that cried, "Choose, spirit, thy supreme choice not given again. For now, from my highest being, looks at thee, the nameless, formless peace, where all things rest." In a happy, vast, sublime cessation, know an immense extinction in eternity, a point that disappears in the infinite. Felicity of the extinguished flame, last sinking of a wave in a boundless sea, end of the trouble of thy wandering thoughts, close of the journeying of thy pilgrim soul. Accept, O music, weariness of thy notes, O stream, wide breaking of thy channel banks. The moments fell into eternity, but someone yearned within a bosom unknown, and silently the woman's heart replied, "Thy peace, O Lord, a boon within to keep, amid the roar and ruin of wild time, for the magnificent soul of man on earth. Thy calm, O Lord, that bears thy hands of joy, limitless like ocean, round a lonely isle, a second time the eternal cry arose. Wide open are the ineffable gates in front. My spirit leans down to break the knot of earth. Amorous of oneness without thought or sign, to cast down wall and fence, to strip heaven bare, see with the large eye of infinity, unweave the stars, and into silence pass. In an immense and world-destroying pause, she heard a million creatures cry to her. Through the tremendous stillness of her thoughts, immeasurably the woman's nature spoke. Thy oneness, Lord, in many approaching hearts, my sweet infinity of thy numberless souls. Mightily retreating like a sea in ebb, a third time swelled the great admonishing call. I spread abroad the refuge of my wings. Out of its incommunicable deeps, my power looks forth of mightiest splendor, stilled into its majesty of sleep, withdrawn above the dreadful whirlings of the world. A sob of things was answer to the voice, and passionately the woman's heart replied, "Thy energy, Lord, to seize on woman and man, to take all things and creatures in their grief, and gather them into a mother's arms." Solemn and distant, like a seraph's lyre, a last great time the warning sound was heard. I open the wide eye of solitude to uncover the voiceless rapture of my bliss, where In a pure and exquisite hush it lies, motionless in its slumber of ecstasy, resting from the sweet madness of the dance, out of whose beat the throb of hearts was born. Breaking the silence with appeal and cry, a hymn of adoration tireless climbed, a music beat of winged uniting souls. Then all the woman yearningly replied, thy embrace, which rends the living knot of pain, thy joy, O Lord, in which all creatures breathe, thy magic flowing waters of deep love, thy sweetness give to me for earth and men.